In times like this, we need the Bible. I've been blessed with being here yesterday and today. Talk about being blessed and encouraged. I have been challenged hearing the different messages, different topics. And always go back to how God can bring us from totally different backgrounds. I came from a totally different background than Brother John did. And I should just say that I was born and raised in El Salvador, Central America. I was 20 years old whenever I moved to Dublin, Georgia, and I've been there ever since. So if you think I talk a little funny, don't think that everybody in Georgia talks like this. I have read different books about how to preach, how to speak in public, and one of the things that everybody encourages is to pronounce your words correctly. So I was just going to throw a little disclaimer here. I don't usually have a habit of throwing disclaimers because I think it detracts from the message. But if I pronounce a word incorrectly, forgive me. It's not my intent to do that. But sometimes I can't help it. We sang the song, "Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." It blessed me. I was kind of with Brother Ernie. Maybe I should just sit down and skip the message. Because what I have to share, in some ways, it has been shared already. And but I'm going to, if this is my lot, it is okay. I'm going to see what we can do with this message. Preach the word. The brother that, yes, like I said already, has been referred to different parts of the message already so far. And I think Brother Ernie already mentioned that that's what we were ordained for, to preach the word. Whenever I saw the title, I was like, well, what else can we preach? Preach the word. Yeah, that's what we were ordained for. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Brother Ernie read these verses already. It's just fine, right? 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 4. I'm just going to go ahead and read these verses because this is the emphasis of the message at this moment. We find this, the title, in verse 2, preach the word. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Here in verse 3, it suggests that we could preach unsound doctrine. And we know that it takes sound doctrine for living, for sound living. Sound doctrine really is necessary for sound living. So here, there's a warning for us. We could preach unsound doctrine. So let's take heed of that. In verse 3 also, it says that they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. You know, sometimes my ears kind of itch. So you scratch it, right? Well, this is not what he's talking about. See, we want something that sounds good. That's the potential. There can be the possibility that we want something that sounds good, that we like it, that we pat our backs and we go home feeling good to ourselves. Jeremiah, I love to study Jeremiah. I want to make it more of a habit to study his life more. Because he lived in a time when what he had to say was not appreciated. Many times he suffered for what he said. He shared the word of God. So I just bring that up to just mention that that would be a possibility for us. Maybe there will be something that somebody, that you know that somebody's not going to appreciate. So we shy away from it. Jeremiah did not do that, even though he felt tempted to do so, and we're going to see that probably later on. Titus 3 verse 9 says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So there are some more possibilities. What else can we preach beside the word? And I don't have any application for us. What would be these foolish questions and what would be genealogies that we could get into and preach about, and they are unprofitable? So I hope the Spirit of God can bring some things into our lives. What are these things? But we see those things. So we can see that preaching is not about politics. It's not about philosophies. It's not about psychology. And I don't know where to go with that one, because I feel like there's a movement or some kind of Christian psychology. And I'm trying to sort those things out, reading books about it. So God help us that we go back to preach that word. Amen. That word. And that's my point number two. What is the word? What is the word? Here in John and 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach that word. And you know, sometimes it's fascinating to study words in the Bible, right? See the original, see the Spanish. That's one thing I was going to say in my disclaimers too. Sometimes I refer to what the Spanish says. And I'm not suggesting that I know the scriptures better than you because I know Spanish. That's not the case. It's just easier for me and my soul to understand whenever I read the word in Spanish. So I'm going to probably do some of those things, and I hope I don't offend you. If I do, well, I guess you're just going to have to get over it. But hear the word, to preach the word. I found it fascinating that it's the same Greek word in John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's the same word. Preach the Word. So what is the Word? And of course, like I said, it has been referred to already. Jesus is the Word. Somebody mentioned that already. In Spanish, instead of using word, it uses verb. The verb. In the beginning was the verb, and the verb was with God, and the verb was God. So that gives us an idea of an action word. It's an alive. It's alive. It's not a dead word, but it's alive. And as I was studying the word logos, is that logos is the Greek word for word. And I had a little trouble sometimes, the strong concordance and I don't get along very good, because it doesn't give me enough definition. It just says a bunch of things and try to make sense out of that. But it kind of, I take this from it, that it is something like the thought. It gives the thought or the motive or the reasoning or the intent. From who? From God. Now think about this. This is very special to me to see that we are supposed to preach, and we, by the way, we are ordained to preach the word. Think about it. We are preaching, in essence, we are preaching the thought, the motive, the intentions of God Himself. Amen. That's what the word is. The intention of God for humankind. It is the revealed words of God to humankind. Wow, that is impressive to me. It is the same word in Luke 8 verse 11 about the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. Just think about it. The word is the thought, motive, reasoning, and intent from God for us. I like this other definition I found about the word. Is the word of God is the whole body or revealed truth. The whole body or revealed truth. From who? From God. Whose thoughts? Not Henry's. From God's. And we already mentioned that there in John 1, verse 1, Jesus was God with us. Jesus was the complete manifestation of God for us. And I just love Hebrews 1:3. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I just love the thought of Jesus being the express image of God. He was the active word of God. He was the revealed complete package of truth to humankind. And just to illustrate that point of Jesus being that express image, one time I was in Guatemala. When I was a young man, I traveled through Central America, kind of like some of the young people travel around the United States here. So I traveled different churches, Mennonite churches in Central America. One time I was in Guatemala. There was in a big city. Guatemala City is a big city. And there was a huge mall, very fancy mall. And we go in there, there's a couple young people there, and we decided we're going to go to get a coffee shop. And we're living in the country, we're not city folks, right? So we go in there, and a coffee shop in Guatemala, and everybody orders a cup of coffee. I don't know much about this, a list of 10 different kinds of coffee. I thought there was only one kind of coffee. But hey, how about giving me an espresso there? I didn't know what it was. I pay high dollars for it. Boy, I thought they'd rip me off. It had a little bitty cup like that. I took a sip of that stuff, and whew, that stuff was strong. It was that espresso. It was that real, just as strong as it comes. So every time I read this in Hebrews, I think about that. Jesus was that express image. It was, the pure essence. That's kind of the thought he gives in Spanish. The pure essence of God himself. Amen. And in essence, Jesus, we think about preach the word. We think about preaching Jesus himself then. Jesus should be the foundation of our faith. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. This is Acts. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I have printed them out. That way we can save time. I know I'm preaching to Bible students and Bible teachers. So we should know our Bibles, right? Then Philip went, this is Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preach unto him Jesus. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What do we need to preach? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Not too long ago, I have a conversation with an ex-pilgrim minister. In his conversation, he was telling me about some conversations he has had with some kind of old order Mennonites in Mexico. And in some old order Mennonites in Bolivia. And in this conversation, he was telling me that he asked some of these people, what is the basis of your salvation? And they did not have an answer for him. They didn't know what to say. They didn't even want to talk about. And of course, he was trying to bring a point there with it. I'm not going to get into that. But I thought to myself, how sad. How sad. And as I sat down here at the ministers' meeting yesterday, the preaching today, and I am so glad, I am so blessed to be part of this group of believers that have the Bible as the basis. As I cannot relate to the story Brother John was telling us about this man that he was born into this. He didn't even know what born again was. I didn't even know that people like that existed until recent years. I hope, brothers and sisters, that our faith is founded in the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And I just like this, reviewing the vision of the Pilgrim Manhood Conference, Brother Steve, I believe, put together. I'm going to read the last paragraph, the second to last. It says, what does a vision like this do? It calls for members to be devoted to the Bible, not just as a creed, but as the book to study and meditate upon. He calls for a people who will take this book into their families, then to their communities, and finally all over the world. And that's what we're talking about, preaching the word. He asks for respect to forefathers, but when times occur, culture changes, changes may be made in a more biblical direction. In this way, it sits uncomfortably in the Mennonite drift, which gradually accommodates to worldliness. Changing only in a scriptural direction confronts fads and fashions. It confronts the casual and grunge look of our present generation. It confronts the lukewarmness of affluence. It calls for constant vigilance and discipleship. That paragraph is loaded, brothers. And that's what we need to be preaching, the Word of God. We can think of the Word of God as the Holy Word. Like the verse in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Other aspect of what the Word of God is. What is the Word? It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So if the Scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit, who do you think needs to help us to interpret the Holy Scriptures right? I like this quote I found of a preacher here. It is my prayer that more and more we may seek the illumination of the Holy Spirit so that we may interpret His own writings to us for our understanding and the glory of God. Amen. That is my prayer. I love these meetings whenever we can expound in the Word of God, but I hope that we can see beyond our humanism. Human beings, that is God through His Spirit. And it's amazing to me how God can use us. That just amazes me. How God, and I know we don't have much time to talk about all the different implications of that, but I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians 2. In regards to this, allowing the Holy Spirit to help us understand His Word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do we need the Spirit to discern the Scriptures? Of course, because they were inspired by Him. So we need to depend on that. Make sure whenever we preach the Word of God that we depend on the Holy Script, on the Holy Spirit to help us interpret His Scriptures. And like Brother John said, this, we're not talking about another gospel, another revelation. The Bible is clear that we're not going to have another revelation. Even if an angel comes and preach another gospel, he says, let him be accursed. So let's be aware. Unsound doctrine, itching ears. Let's be aware of that. May the Spirit help us. Point number three, what does the word do for us? If we are going to be good salesmen for the word of God, we need to be able to tell that it works. Right? The word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What can we take from this verse? I take from these words, this verse, that the Word of God is alive. It's a verb. The verb was with God, and the verb was God. The verb is action, is alive. And it's powerful. And it's powerful. Brother Luke mentioned that in his message. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. Listen to this verse. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Isn't that wonderful, brothers and sisters? Especially whenever we preach. The sisters don't preach. But whenever we are preaching, and there is a man out there on the back, and he's listening, and all of a sudden tears start rolling down his cheeks. Convicted. What? What did I say? Was he offended? No. The Holy Spirit is working. The Word of God is speaking to him. Maybe something that I didn't even say. But he's receiving the conviction. Why? Because he works. This Word is alive. This Word is powerful. I could tell you many stories of that. Another thing that the Spirit, that the Scriptures do for us, it keeps us on the right track. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. A quote from Papa Sim here that he shared one time with us from this verse. Scripture show us what is right, doctrine. Keep us on what is right, reproof. Brings us back to what is right, correction. And teaches us what is right, instruction. Other thing that the Scriptures do for us is makes us wise. I referred to that verse already, that from the child you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Psalm 19:7, I love that verse because it applies to me, the simple. The simple. We feel kind of simple sometimes. I do. I feel very simple. But you know what? The Word of God says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. And we can keep on going. What does the Word do for you? It gives direction. Gives direction. I could give some more scriptures. I'm going to skip a few of the scriptures, because I know you know that. But I would like to just mention 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Do you feel that you live in a dark place? I do. I flew up here Tuesday, I guess it was, and I was just amazed. You know how the airports are. You get to see everything. And I'm just, Lord, how can I raise a family in this world? How can we reach these people? They need you. Dark place. Where can we turn to? Let's turn to the Bible. That's what is the light. And of course, it gives salvation. What would we do without the Bible? James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness that engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I just love that thought there. Engrafted word. I'm not a technician, whatever you call people that engraft things, plants. But if I understand right, they take the root stock of some kind of wild tree or whatever, and they make a notch on it. They cut it, make a notch, and they bring another one, the better tree, and they put it there and tape it together and graft it. Why? That way it can give better fruit in its old roots. And I just love that. That's what God wants to do with each one of us. That's what the Word does for us. Receive the Word as an engrafted Word. Why? So we can bring much fruit. Brother James shared that devotion this morning. It is in that that the Father is glorified, that we bring forth much fruit. How can we do that? We need the engrafted Word. Because guess what? We are full of carnality. And we need the engrafted Word. And the last point I have here, we need to preach it. Preach the Word. And I hope that we can get better at it. Because it's the Word of God. I hope I can get better at this. Not have my thoughts all scattered. Sometimes I feel like, boy, I sit down and I'm like, poor congregation. You know what it says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6? Maybe this could answer Brother Tim Martin's question. What happens whenever they lay hands on you? I think this is what the verse you were looking for, Brother Ernie. It was, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stirred up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You know what? Whenever we are kneeling down there and they ordained you or me or whatever, there was a gift from God that was put on thee. There was a gift of God. And in the Spanish, instead of saying stirring up the gift, it says that you were rekindled, or what you call it, not stoke the fire. Is that correct? Stoke it up. Rekindle the fire. That's what it says in Spanish. Instead of stir up the gift, it says exactly rekindle the fire of the gift of God. There was a fire put within us, brethren, that we need to watch out that will not go away. And I hope, I have shared this with the congregation, whenever I'm going to share the Word of God, whenever I'm fixing to preach a message, there is a sense of need that comes within me. I'm like, how can I do this? And I hope I never lose that sense, because it's that need that brings me to my knees and say, God, will you please speak through me? Who in the world am I to be bringing a message? Jeremiah 20 verse 9. Then I said, notice how discouraged Jeremiah was. I will not make mention of him. I am done. These people don't want to hear me. I speak anymore, nor speak anymore in his name. I am done. Sometimes we feel that way. We hear comments. A brother said that he didn't like what you preach, and people keep doing whatever they want to do anyway. So what's the need? And I feel discouraged, and I feel, Lord, why would I preach again? I feel like Jeremiah. And notice what he says. Jeremiah said, but this word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In Spanish, it says that he tried to let it aside. He tried to just endure it, but he couldn't do it. There was a fire within us. I hope that the gift of God that was laid in us will never go off. Let's throw some fire in there. Let's throw some wood in there, whatever it takes. And I hope that these meetings like this, I feel like I've been encouraged. Maybe tomorrow I feel some other way, but at least I feel that way today. One more thing I would like to think about, or maybe a couple of things yet, about preaching the Word, is know it personally. And we already mentioned that. I think Brother Ernie touched about this. We need to know the Word personally. And I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed sometimes whenever I don't know the Word. And I can tell you embarrassing stories about that. And we can read verses. Like whenever God told in Deuteronomy about the king, if they were going to get a king for themselves, he needed to have a copy of the law with him and read it. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand nor to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. God told that to Joshua, that the book of the law should not depart from thee. I love this verse, 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning. This is John, the beloved apostle, the disciple that walked with Jesus. Think about it. It was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Jesus Christ himself being the word of life, he has seen it. He have heard it. They had handled him. First John 1:3. I probably should just read the rest of the verses there, 2 and 3. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. What are you going to preach? The word of God that we have heard, that we have believed, that we have handled, that we have put our confidence into. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Time is about up. But I just want to give just a few reminders to us all. Maybe to me more than anybody else. But we need to preach the word boldly. Boldly. I found this verse in Isaiah 56:10. He says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. That's an easy route to take. We see issues in our congregations and we like, let them go. We become like dogs that cannot bark. A dog barks to alert. And this is the Bible. The Bible is teaching us to be watchmen that bark. That's kind of funny, isn't it? But that means that we need to be bold. We not need to be scared. Reprove, he said there in 2 Timothy. It gives the idea of admonish or convict and convince. Rebuke. Rebuke is a little heavier. We need to speak clearly, even sharply, to the wrongdoer, whether he is open to correction or not. And I know the pulpit is not a place to throw rocks at people. Let's be careful with that. I want to be very careful with that. If there's a personal issue, that we should go and address it personally. But if it's more of a general, you know what I'm talking about, right? I think you do. And I like the next phrase. It said exhort, to try to influence someone by words or advice, to give warning or advice, make urgent appeals, encourage, urge, nudge, prompt. Hear this quote here. The role of the preacher is to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. I love that quote. That summarizes pretty good. What do we need to do? Is to afflict those that are comfortable and to comfort those that are afflicted. And the last point I have here, as we preach the word of God, is we need to train others. I'm a very young minister here. But you know what? It says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and the things thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'm just going to finish with a little story here. In El Salvador, in the field, that was a mission field. That was a missionary church where I grew up at. I know what it is to go to prayer meeting with 6 to 8 people. I know what it is to lead songs and have devotions all on the same service. I know what it is to get to church and say, brother, we don't have nobody to have devotions. Will you have devotions? Be instant in season and out of season. I missed that point because the time didn't allow it. Are you ready? We go to nursing homes around here and nobody, that man that won't have devotion didn't show up. Are you ready? I hope we are. I hope we have something ready. But there in El Salvador, the ministers, there was just a handful of ministers. There's not very many people to choose from or to seek direction from. We're going to do something about this. They started what they call a layman ministry. Laity ministry, whatever the correct term is. But the idea was to teach these young men or old men, whatever we were there. We were all in a pile there. And it was instructing us for future leadership. And now that I am ordained here in the United States, I go back so many times to what I learned those days. And I wish sometimes that we would do that. I am very glad, I'm very thankful for all the ordinations that we have. And I'm blessed by it. But my challenge is, are we training? I feel very unprepared whenever the Lord called me to the ministry. Whose fault was it? Well, probably mine. But I'm just throwing this out. Should we start another ministry for young people, for older people, for brethren? For they can learn something. How to preach, how to expound in the Word of God, how to study the Word of God. Maybe that's not necessary. In conclusion, I'm just going to finish with this verse here. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, Spanish said pastor, the prince of the pastors, he says in Spanish, the prince of the pastors, the chief shepherd, same idea, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. May God help us to be faithful to our calling.